intention. So glory be to God for waking us up and to being so good to us. That's why we'll sing wherever we go.
Sing wherever I go.
Rise to your feet.
We need to clap.
All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high,
that's right. Sing, low,
I'm gonna sing wherever I go.
Praise him wherever I go.
All my life, all I know, God's been good.
I don't hear clapping. Yeah.
Valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul.
Yes, he has.
Yes, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Our God is worthy of a praise like that.
You ever wonder why God chose you? Why he would choose you? Why he would choose me? It's good to be in awe of that. Because he didn't choose us because we deserved anything, did he? He chose it just because. Just because he loves us. Get the slides.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all that never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. So I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm there for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. And stay tried. And David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are?
I'll say,
brother family
is all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name,
well, that's fine with me. For the world to see,
nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but, nobody but me. Go down in history.
Let's pray. God, we bow before you this morning. We're singing because you put a song in our heart. And Lord, for those here who that song has grown dim, I pray that you'll ignite it again today. Ignite that song, God, that those of us who are excited to be yours, excited to be loved and chosen and forgiven by you, God, that we'd sing out. And those who are maybe struggling, maybe distracted, maybe dealing with a lot of pain, God, I pray that you'd ignite that joy in their heart today. Thanks that we get to be together. Thanks for those who are new friends, those who are old friends, and just new relationships. God, I pray that you'll build this church to be what you want it to be, God, that this can be a city on a hill, a light that people have to take notice because you're doing something. You're doing something powerful, God. So take this time, take this morning, this hour we've given to you, God, and do much with it in each person here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, before you sit down, we have a question of the day. It might be related to Thanksgiving. Anybody going to celebrate Thanksgiving this week? I hope you are. And so the question of the day is, do you prefer cranberry sauce or cranberry relish? So kids third grade and below can head downstairs for classes. And everybody else, what's your answer? Share that with somebody. Introduce yourself, and we'll be back in a minute. All right, everybody, find a seat. Find a seat. It's good to hear your voices. It's good to hear. Good to sing together. Good to hear you guys talking to each other. We sang that song, Sing Wherever I Go, and I have kind of an opening question that I want to think about that might relate to that. What is your heart chasing? Our hearts chase things. And like we sing that song, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. Like if your heart just was on the outside and your heart sang whatever was on your heart, what would your heart be singing? Like what's on your mind when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you've got some moments of just time to just
not think about anything. Where does your mind go? What is your heart chasing? And there's all kinds of things it could be chasing. It might be chasing something you want but don't have. Maybe something you saw somebody else had that, like, you just really, really need to get that new Tesla truck. Yeah. There's a real small percentage of people that really want that, from what I gather. But something that you want, that you're chasing after, or a relationship that you wish you had, maybe your mind kind of drifts back to something you lost, your health or a close friend. Maybe you're caught up in addiction. Praise God, we got some people who've overcome some serious addictions here in this place today. But maybe you're still caught up in one. Just this craving that won't leave you alone. Or maybe it's a video game. Right? The thing that when you just want it, you just go to that. Like, that's what you wake up in the morning and think about. Or is it God? Is your heart chasing God? Some of you, maybe a handful of you, like, that's what I want to chase God. I want to know God. Does God have your heart? We're in church, so we should be talking about that, right? But reality is our heart chases other things. And I was kind of transparent with you guys a couple weeks ago. That's kind of embarrassing, but I've got a little side hustle that my heart is chasing right now. And I shared with you guys, I sell used ski equipment on Facebook Marketplace. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I wonder if anybody messaged me. If that's the first thing I'm thinking about. And when I'm preparing a sermon, like, oh, maybe I should check. Or when Ann's trying to talk to me about something, like, oh, maybe I could just, you know, check this while she's talking to me. Like, guys, that's just what's going on. Like, this little stupid side hustle has the potential of becoming a full-blown addiction for me. I don't need chemicals. I just need to see that little one on the app. Somebody might want to buy something from me. Like, it's stupid, right? But does anybody else have anything like that? That you, when you look at it honestly, like, my heart should not be chasing that thing. It's not worth it. Maybe I'm the only one. That side hustle's taken more of my heart than it deserves. It doesn't deserve that much of me. I don't want that to be the thing my heart is chasing. So I'll turn it on you too. What do you want your heart to be chasing? When you think about that, what do you want your heart to be chasing? My mind goes back to this verse in the Old Testament. It's in the middle of the history of Israel, and it just kind of pops up in the middle of this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. It just, like, this phrase just catches me. It says, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." How many people does that apply to? You know, as God does his earth scan, if you watch the Lord of the Rings, the Eye of Sauron, he does this earth scan. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. When he does that earth scan, I want his gaze to pause when he sees me and to think, Nate's heart is fully committed to me. Not, why is he thinking about those stupid old ski boots? Right? His heart is fully committed to me. So here's strength for you, because that's what it says, right? To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I'm going to give you strength because I know you're going to use it well. That's what I want. That is not where I always live. I want to be fully committed to God, to find the most joy, the most satisfaction in him. When my mind drifts, for it to drift to my love for him, to daydream about ways I can be part of his eternal kingdom. That's what I want. But this new idol has crept up in my heart. And it's competing, and it's taking more of my focus than it deserves. I mean, ski boots, really? Used ski boots? Really? Is there anything that you've got your heart wants more than it should, and it's not God? Open your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. We are actually finishing the book of Ephesians. We started this thing in March. So we've taken a long time to go through, but you are here for the very last message in the letter from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. And the Apostle Paul who wrote this, he's in prison when he writes this. So that's important to keep in mind as we talk about this. So you think about this guy who's in prison unjustly. I wonder what his heart is chasing at that point. Because he'd have pretty good reason to be chasing regaining his freedom because he's in jail on false charges. And some people here have done some time in prison. You know what it's like. It's no fun. And he's in prison. He doesn't deserve to be. So what does he want right now? What is he chasing? He could certainly be writing letters of support to write to his friends and acquaintances to be like, hey, guys, can you speak up for me, please? Do something about this. But that's not his focus at all. What is Paul's heart chasing? It's, you know what it is? It's, he just wants to invest himself in God's kingdom, wherever he happens to be. Wherever he is strengthening the churches, sharing the goodness of Jesus with people who don't yet believe. That is what he wants to do. It doesn't matter where he is. And interestingly enough, Paul had a side hustle too. You know that? You know what his side hustle was? He made and sold tents to support himself so he wouldn't be a burden to other people. He made enough money to get by. But was that his passion? Nah. That was just so he could keep doing what he's doing. Paul's passion was this. I want to know Christ and to make him known. That's it. I want to know Christ and make him known. There had to be a reason for that. It wasn't just like if you picked any random character in the world, who would it be? Like Christ changed his world completely. He's the only one worth saying that about. And maybe you have a relationship like it's my wife's birthday today. It's Ann's birthday. I want to know Ann. And that's appropriate if you're married, you got a relationship or something. I want to know her. But do I need to make her known? Like, I mean, Jesus is worth making known. No slam against my wife. Like, I don't, like, people can know her, that's cool, but I want people to know Jesus. I kind of dug myself in a hole there. Let's back out. Let's just back out, okay? Not in the notes. I gotta not do that. This is Paul's heart. I want to know Christ. I want to make him known. And that's what he's doing as he writes the letter of Ephesians. From beginning to end, his passion is to know Christ, to make him known. And we've been studying this book for a long time, and some of you are just jumping in. You haven't been here that whole time. So those of you who've been here, I hope this time has been encouraging to you and your faith. I hope it's been helpful in the long run. But just to remind you and to bring you up to speed, if you're just kind of tuning in, what is the message of Ephesians? In a quick nutshell, Ephesians chapter 1, God deeply loves you. Deeply loves you. Chapter 2, I did nothing to deserve that. Nothing. It's all God's mercy. And what that does in us as a group, it leads to a kind of unity you won't find anywhere else. It's different from, yeah, I earned that. I deserve that. You look down on people. No, I don't. I didn't. No. So we're on the same level, on the same page. He deeply loves me. I did nothing to deserve it. Chapter 3, God longs for us to comprehend his love more and more. Some of you just have a taste. I know he loves me, but I don't really get it. Like, this is a journey in itself to comprehend more and more deeply how much he loves us. Chapter 4 starts getting really practical. God's love received creates in me love for others, which is the foundation of healthy relationships. We've been talking about relationships, right? Chapter 5, living a life in imitation of God is the path to fullness. We all want fullness, but we chase different paths to get there. He's talking about fullness of relationships, fullness of life. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love. It goes together. And then chapter 6, this is the problem. We've got an enemy who intends to wreck our faith and our relationships. He's very successful in that. But we also have a God who intends to empower us for the spiritual battle. We have a God who intends to empower us. We can experience victory. We don't have to live in defeat. We have power from God. So last Sunday, we talked about the armor of God and this very real spiritual battle we're in. Life is hard. Anybody realize that? Life is hard, maybe just for the first two rows and the rest of you guys. Life is easy. Floated in here, got all the money I need. Relationships are fantastic. There's no drama. What do you mean drama? That's on TV. No, it's real. Partly because the world is so broken. Everything around us. Partly because people have drifted so far from God. And partly because we have an enemy in the spiritual realm who wants to destroy us. It's real. So we talked about the armor of God, all this armor God's given us and how we can use it against the enemy's attacks. The flaming arrows of the evil one, it said, right? The voices of accusation, you're not enough. Nobody loves you. These voices that we've heard that just bounce around in our minds, the voices of condemnation, temptations to lure us away. These are the flaming arrows of the evil one. These are attacks that can knock us out. If you missed that message, that's last Sunday. You might want to find it on our website and pick that up. But we have armor from God to defend against anything the enemy throws at us. Defense. But there's also offense in a battle. There's offense in this war too. And I shared it yesterday. We're going to talk more about it today. We get to storm the gates of hell because Jesus isn't done saving people yet. Do you want to do that? Anybody a little nervous about storming the gates of hell? This is our call. This is the offensive side of the battle. And in my mind, this is the exciting part, to be able to take back enemy territory. We're talking about people. People who are casualties of war. So we're gonna focus on mostly verses 19 and 20 of Ephesians 6. We're going to finish this letter today, but I want to just read this short section here. If you got a Bible, open it up, take a look, but listen to what he says. He starts talking about prayer after all this battle, all this armor and weapons and things to defend against the enemy. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul's in prison, right? And what is his heart chasing when he goes to bed at night? When he wakes up in the morning, he's not praying, God, get me out of here. It's not what he's praying. He's certainly not daydreaming about, man, I can't wait to get back to making most tents and making increase my profit margin. Maybe I can get an online presence. No. Paul's heart is fully committed to and fully satisfied in God and his kingdom. How do you get there? How do you get to that place where your heart is fully satisfied in God and his kingdom? So this is his heart, and that's why he asked his friends to pray. You pray for me too. Not for my release. He doesn't ask for that. Pray that God would give me the words to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, because that's what's changed my life more than anything. I'd rather have that and be in prison than be out of prison and not have that. He calls himself, I am an ambassador in chains. Paul knows exactly who he is in relation to God. His present circumstances are simply the place God has put him to serve God's purpose, and he's okay with that. Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I want you to think about that for a second. The Apostle Paul just said, pray for me that I will declare God's message fearlessly. Does it not strike you as odd that the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of all time, commissioned and empowered directly by Jesus, author of 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament, the one who declared Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. This is the Paul who says, pray for me that I won't be scared when I get a chance to talk about Jesus. Paul? You ever felt nervous about sharing your faith? You're in good company. Paul asked his friends to pray because he wanted to share this good news, but he had reason to be afraid. And maybe you do too. Pray that God will give me the words so I can fearlessly make known this mystery, this beautiful good news. And where is he at again? Where is he when he writes this? In the penitentiary. He's in the pen. And what he sees is opportunity. Not a problem, an opportunity. What kind of opportunity? He sees opportunity to share the gospel with other prisoners, with some of the guards. You look at the book of Philippians, he tells us, guys, guess what? Because I'm in jail, the entire palace guard has heard the good news about Jesus. Entire palace guard. They all took turns chained to him. And he got to share Jesus. Who else would Paul get to share Jesus with? He's in prison. He's awaiting trial. He's going to stand before judges. He's going to stand before kings. And he's going to talk about Jesus. Eventually, he would get to share the gospel of peace with the Caesar himself. Top guy in the world at the time. Paul gets to share with him. You know, even Paul could get nervous about that. A little bit. Paul has some pretty awesome opportunities from prison. Not to mention just the time and chance to process and pray, write these letters to people and churches. Now that's Paul's situation. What's your situation? What's your opportunity? You're not in the same spot as Paul. I know that because you're here. You're not in prison. Maybe somebody's online listening right now because I know you can do that. You can listen. Maybe we got an online following in prison. So I apologize. Okay, that is your opportunity. But for those of you in person, that's not your opportunity. You got different opportunities. Do you see your opportunities like Paul sees his? Where does God have you right now? How are you thinking about the circumstances you're in? Are you praying, God, will you change my circumstances already? I'm tired of this. Or are you praying, God, give me strength to serve you well in these circumstances? You know, maybe I bet at least half the people in this room are craving something different from what you have. Because the world is broken. You don't have everything that you would want. So for that 50 to 80% of you that there's something I wish was different, you've got a craving, it's not what you have right now, that's okay. Because in the deepest part of your longing, what you want is paradise. That's what God wired into you, to long for paradise. That's a good thing. But we're not there yet. You're made for paradise, but we're not there yet. So to expect paradise now is not realistic, and it's also not very helpful. You would not expect 5-star accommodations on the front lines of a war. If you're in active duty, you're not going to be puffing the pillows, calling for room service. It doesn't work that way. There's a spiritual battle going on around us, and we're in it. Paul gets that. So this is why he prays. He's not praying to be comfortable. He's asking for strength for the battle. To be useful, helping more people find freedom in the gospel of Jesus, for more people to discover God really does love them, Jesus' death really was for their forgiveness, that faith in Jesus really does lead to fullness of life that can't be found anywhere else. That's the heartbeat of a person fully committed to God and his kingdom. How many of you've had this like low level of guilt about sharing Jesus with people? And I spent years that way, like, yeah, I need to. I need to talk about Jesus, but I'm scared to, and I kind of really actually don't want to. Anybody feel that sometimes? Yeah, I should, but what if God brought us to this place where my heart is alive in Jesus? I want other people to experience that. We don't want to function out of guilt. We want to function out of life. So if you don't have that life yet, if you're not excited about Jesus, don't think about, I need to share him with other people. You need to think about getting excited about Jesus. Let's start there. Let's back up a little bit. So think about, like, this is some reflective self kind of like examining kind of time today. Are you more interested in God's kingdom or some aspect of your own? Think about that. Honestly, you don't have to tell us, but it's really easy to become sidetracked in our own little kingdoms. Building a business, nothing wrong with that, but if it becomes everything, something wrong with that. Making a life yourself, being as comfortable and happy as you can be, the American dream, right? I mean, to a degree, okay. But if that's what our passion is about, we're missing something. There's something bigger to go after. You understand that God is at work here. God, Almighty God, is at work here, right here in this building, in this town. God is at work here. He is. He really is. And we get to be part of it. We got people here, right here in this room, who are brand new in their faith. Brand new. We got people here who are still checking out faith and not even sure what they believe. We got people here who've been maybe sidetracked and distracted and are finally coming back to God and like, oh my goodness, what am I missing? And getting excited. And some of you have been faithfully following God for years and years and years. But we live in a community that's just filled with people who desperately need to know how deeply God loves them. People living separated from God in darkness. And some of those people are your friends, right? Anybody have friends who don't believe in Jesus? I hope you do. I hope you do. Good. A bunch of hands. Some of those people are your friends. Guys, God is working in this town, and he wants to include us in his eternal work. If you can let that process, if you can let that sink in, guys, he wants to include us. Opportunities are everywhere, and as you start to see them, it kind of becomes overwhelming. I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed with all the opportunities God has given us as he's working here in this place. I've had some deep conversations this week and just seeing what God is doing. It's lighting a spiritual fire in me and just helping me in my own little idolatry, like to see, oh my goodness, like that is so blah compared to what God is doing? Seriously. So I'm getting more amped about it, just seeing God work. I want to be part of his work. I want to help people take another step closer to God. I want to see people find forgiveness, find satisfaction in him. That's sell another pair of skis. Okay, I got an extra $30. All right. So eternity. What do you want? What do you want to be more? You want to be about more about God's kingdom or yours? What do you really, really want? You just got to be honest with yourself, because if you're like, I really want to be more about my kingdom, like, but God, I think that's probably not right. Like, maybe you can help me here. Like, you can pray a prayer like that. Do you want to know Jesus and be close to him like Paul? Do you want to be in that place where God uses you to have spiritual conversations with people? How do you do that? How do you do that? There's some cards on the chairs that we put out before we started today. You know, if you want to talk about Jesus, one way you could do that is memorize a list of Bible verses and go door to door, knock on doors and be like, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? You're laughing. Like, there's maybe two or three people here who'd be like, yeah, let's do that. Come on. But most of you are like, no. I don't want them coming to my door, and so I'm not going to go to their door. Like, I think we're kind of mostly beyond that of, like, just banging on doors and be like, hey, you want to know about Jesus? I think there might be a better way. I think God has people all over the world in people's lives already that maybe that would be a better way. You know people already? I don't think it's probably the best way to reach people to go door to door to grab a bullhorn and yell on the street corners. I've done that. And it changed my heart. Like, it helped me love people better. I don't know if it's the best way to share Jesus. I was a missions major in college, which means I studied to become a missionary, to like possibly go overseas and just plant new churches and whatever. And so I had a missions professor. He said this thing over and over again. It just kind of locked into my heart. He said this: why would you expect someone to trust in your God when they aren't sure if they can trust you? Knock, knock, knock. Who are you? Oh, trust in your God? That makes sense. Why would you expect someone to trust in your God when they aren't sure yet they can trust you? The messenger matters. But if you want to share Jesus in the context of relationships, which I'm convinced is the best way to do it, not the only way, but the best way, you need to have relationships with people who don't know Jesus. And many of you do, thankfully. So he prays, Paul prays, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. This good, good news. I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Who do you know? People's names. Who do you know who is not yet a follower of Jesus and you really, really want them to be? You really, really want to spend eternity with these people. You care about them. You know them. You love them. You want to spend forever with them. Who do you know? Their name comes right to your mind. Have you had any spiritual conversations with them? Some of you are like, yeah, they don't want anything to do with it. Okay. Are you praying for them consistently? Are you praying for them? If you're not, start there. Start there. Pray. You can't do anything to change anybody's heart, but God can. So what about other acquaintances, more other neighbors, coworkers, people in your life, people God's brought in your life? Who do you know who doesn't yet know Jesus, doesn't have forgiveness, doesn't have peace with God? And just to be clear, because some of you are like, ah, I'm not into that. Let people decide what they want to believe. When we talk about sharing Jesus with people, nobody likes it when people shove religion down their throats. Right? We're all on the same page there. Nobody likes that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But to have a two-way open conversation about spiritual things can be refreshing to people. People don't mind talking about that, especially if you're willing to listen to them and they know that you actually care. Jesus isn't pushy. He's inviting. So are there people in your life you want to share Jesus with? You know, I think one of the ways the enemy has succeeded in the battle is by the isolation tactic. And what I mean by that is you become a Christian, that means you hang out with Christians only. And your relationships with other people become more and more distant. And to a degree, you need that. You need relationships with Christians, but if Christians avoid those who don't believe, who's going to reach them? The guy in the suit going door to door? Isolation is not great. Like it or not, guys, we live in 2024. Maybe you're aware of that. Life is not the same as it was in 2005. Some of you weren't even here in 2005, but it's not. Technology has changed our world. It's opened a lot of doors, but in some ways it has seriously increased our social isolation. Majorly. And I want us to think about it differently from how, it's convenient, so I do it that way. Guys, it didn't used to be this way, but now you can do all your grocery shopping, all your banking, all your retail shopping without even making eye contact with another human being. You can go to a restaurant and have almost zero contact even with your server. You can order and pay using the kiosk on your table. Or you can skip all that and just use DoorDash. Guys, I want more contact with people, not less. I actually go inside my bank because there's people in there and they're bored. Yeah, there's still banks. Maybe your bank doesn't have actual locations. Get a different bank. We're like, yeah, but you're an extrovert. And that's true. I'm an extrovert. Absolutely. Some of you already thought that. You're an extrovert. You want to be with people. That's true. But guys, I also care about the Great Commission. We've been called. I want to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to love my neighbor, and that requires engagement. And that is not only for extroverts. It's not only for pastors. It's for all of us. And it's okay if you're not an extrovert. You don't have to have contact with as many people as I do, or as many people as your extroverted friend. That's okay. But we are all called to put on our shoes and bring the gospel of peace to people who still need it. Start with your friends. Start with people you know. We have the card again, the card. Get out that card. It was on your seat. Take a look at it. I actually have a slide. You can see it up here too. If you're online, you don't have a card, so you can look at it on the screen. At Cornerstone, we have this strategy that's meant to work with any personality, anybody at all. If you know Jesus, if you love Jesus, if you don't, like, this is going to make no sense to you. No sense. So you can just listen. Okay, this is what they think. Okay, that's fine. But it, this is for anybody who loves Jesus, who's been forgiven, and who wants to have some kind of an effect for Jesus' sake, for other people. So we call it pi squared. P-I-I. Pi squared. It's kind of math, but kind of not. P-I-I stands for three words: pray, invest, invite. How many of you know that already? You're not hearing this for the first time. So maybe half. Some of you have not been here before. So I want to run through this because I think this can be really helpful. Like, I want to, but I'm scared. I don't know how. Paul said, pray that I can do it fearlessly. Okay, I feel that way too. So it's not complicated. I love it because it's helpful for me. So some of you like it too. But the idea is you identify just a few people, maybe four, who God has put in your life already who don't know Jesus. And some of you will not have any trouble at all thinking of four people. You just start to pray for them every day. Every day. It's not hard. You just pray for them every day. Write it on a card, put it on your steering wheel, put it where you have time with God every day. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it. You just start praying every day. Same people. Could be a family member, a friend, a neighbor, coworker, somebody you work out with, whatever. Could be four friends. It doesn't matter. Just three, four people. You pray for them every day. Pray for them, pray for them. You know something is going on in their life? Pray for that. And you're also praying that they'll come to know the gospel of peace, that they'll come to know Jesus the way you do. So you're praying. You're praying for yourself too. God, I want to be part of their life. I want to be a spiritual part of their life. God, would you maybe help me do that? Give me opportunity. Give me boldness. Give me clarity if I get an opportunity. Help me. Give me the words to say like Paul prayed so I can share with them in a way that makes sense. So you start with prayer, you keep on praying every day. That's the P. But then you invest. And this is what a lot of people skip. You invest. That's the first I, invest. That's why you limit your list to just a few people, because you want to be part of their life. You want to be a friend. You want to invest in the friendship, in the relationship. You're going to reach out to them, text message, get together, whatever. But you're going to invest in the relationship. You're going to hang out together. You're going to check in because you care about them. This isn't some kind of gimmick. This is like, there's people that I care about. This is me putting feet to that. And all the while you're praying. You're praying, praying, praying. You're investing. And then that second I stands for invite. And that's the scary part. That's the scary part. The invite. Invite is not invite them to church. I mean, it can be, but that's not the main idea. Invite is when you actually bring up the topic of God and Jesus and spiritual things. You actually talk about it. It's wrapped in prayer. In the context of a friendship you already have, you're building. You want your friend to meet Jesus too. So you're looking for opportunities to talk about it. This is actually having meaningful conversation, not just whatever chit-chat. This is real stuff. God has changed my life. I want to talk to you about that. And you might invite them to a special event, or you found a YouTube link. You just share that with them, whatever. But you're talking about it. You're not forcing it. You're not going to force it. You're watching for open doors. You're looking for what they might be ready to talk about, and you jump in when that opportunity happens. A couple examples just happened for me this week that I'll share. There's two people that most of you know that I go up to the Pinnacle every Tuesday, and I work on the sermon. This is where the draft of my sermons come from, up on the Pinnacle. And there's two people that I randomly met probably a year ago, and I've seen them maybe six or seven times. They go up there every Tuesday. They're training to hike the entire Appalachian Trail. And so I've seen them. I know them by name. They know me by name. But I haven't seen them for months. It was like 4 or 5 months. Hadn't seen them at all. And I'm still praying for them. I'm praying for them because they're part of my pi squared. I'm just praying for these people because I might see them on Tuesdays. And like, okay, God, give me opportunity. This week, after like 4 months, bumped into them again. They came walking right up to my lean-to. Sat down at the picnic table, like, hey, Nate, how's it going? Like, hey, cool, good to see you. And we had lunch together. We got to talk. And it just was natural because we have a relationship. I've known them. I've met them. And we've talked about a lot of different things. And the subject of God actually got to come up this time. I was thrilled. Like, I want to do that. Yes. But I didn't shove the gospel. Hey, you need to know about Jesus. You're a sinner. You need to be forgiven. I didn't do that. This person doesn't even know if God exists. They're not even sure about that at all. So we talked about that. Last Sunday in my message, I was talking about why. What are some reasons why I believe God exists? I got to use that. I got to use my sermon. Evidence for just looking around, like, I cannot believe that this is an accident. So we just had some conversation. She was taking a class on global warming, climate change. You got to talk about that. How does God fit into that? And we just had a conversation. Didn't push the gospel down, just had an open conversation. And I was thrilled because that was the first time we got to do that. We have mutual respect for each other, and the door's open. We can have more conversations. So just kind of leaving it open. See what God does. I'm going to keep investing, keep praying, keep listening, and see what God does. Second example, maybe 2 weeks ago, I told you guys about this server at a restaurant who I just happened to ask, how are you doing? And I got more than I expected. Yeah, having a rough day. So I told her, I'm going to be praying for you. And I did. I actually did, right? So I'll pray for you. What was I going to pray about again? I write it down because I forget. So I started praying. Well, I was back at that same restaurant this week. So I followed up. How you doing? And I've been praying for you. And she appreciated that. I said, if there's anything specific that I can pray for you, just please let me know. There was not a hesitation. Just boom, pray for this family health situation. Just like, oh, you've got that going on? No idea. Now I'm praying for that. I'm going back to that restaurant. Again, I'm going to ask how it's going. That's how it works. That's what we're talking about. You're not antsy to like dump God into their soul. You're coming alongside and getting to know where they're at. You're praying, you're investing, and you're looking for those opportunities. That's what pi squared is. And this isn't in the notes, but I thought about it this morning. I've been doing this for years. And so my list changes. People come in and out of my life. And there's a guy that I met through softball related to Joanna was in softball for a while. And I met this guy and we became friends. We did breakfast a few times and just praying for him. And he kind of drifted out of my life. And I didn't stop praying. And then out of the blue, he just called me one day. Like, can we get together? And he had hit the bottom. Like, family trauma, just disaster struck. And we had that relationship. When he picked up the phone, he called me. He said, can we go for a ride? I was in his Jeep for like an hour driving through the night just talking about the crazy that was going on and talking about God. You want to have those kind of opportunities? You got to do that investment. You got to do that groundwork. Build a relationship. You could knock on a door and maybe get lucky. I've done that too. But I really believe relationships are super, super important. If you want to have a spiritual relationship with somebody, you got to build a regular relationship too. So pi squared, pray, because you can't do anything of spiritual value without God. Invest because these people matter. It's not just a notch on your belt. Share Jesus again today. Twice. How about you? Three? Do I have four? It's about people. It's about people. And if you don't care about them, why should they care about your God? And then invite, because your goal isn't just that they like you, but that they can find peace with God through Jesus. And this is the best way I have found to put on my shoes and bring the gospel of peace to people that God brings into our lives. So hopefully some of you will take this and use it as a tool, as a way to help you grow in that. But Paul prays for this. He prays for me too, because I get nervous when I talk, and pray the message would be clear. Let's pray these things for each other. Let's do this. That God would give us opportunities to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. The armor of God is to strengthen us, to defend against our spiritual enemy who is real, but it's also for the offensive side too. Not offensive, not like offensive. The offense, the part of the battle, reaching out to people who are far from God, storming the gates of hell because Jesus isn't done saving people yet. I was so excited a couple weeks ago. My friend Rick texted me, and one of his students was asking him spiritual questions. He's a teacher in the school. He can't push religion at all. Like, he can't do that. But this student, after investing in students' lives for month after month, year after year, this student came to him with questions. And they had a long conversation about spiritual things. And that text message I got, I could tell he was pumped. He was so excited. And I was excited. Because that's where it's at. Like when somebody wants to have a conversation, I want to be ready for that. There's really, if you haven't had a deep, meaningful spiritual conversation with somebody who's trying to figure out what they believe, there's nothing better than that. Right? Right? It's so good. It's so good. So hopefully this pi squared idea can help you feel better prepared. Because I know some of you want to do this. You want to share Jesus, but it's intimidating. Even for Paul. Okay, let's wrap this up. Listen how Paul closes the letter. The last few verses, verses 21 to 24, he says this, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Tychicus. You don't know much about him? But he's going to be the one to hand deliver this letter from Paul. Paul can't go, right? He's in prison. So he's got a friend who can deliver this letter to the church in Ephesus. My dear friend, he says, when he comes, he's going to tell you all about how we're doing, how things are going. He's going to share all this. But as you read these last few verses, can you feel the friendship? Can you feel the care? Like they really love each other. And he really cares about these people. He's not just writing this kind of theological treatise. This is a letter. Care about you guys. We spent time together. I wish I could see you, but I can't because of my chains. But he can write to them. But guys, God was in that too, wasn't he? There was a good reason why he couldn't go. We wouldn't have this letter. We wouldn't have this letter if he was free. Aren't you thankful Paul did some time? Aren't you glad? Thanks, Paul. That was for us. That was for us. For our good. Well, guess what? Your trials, your hardships are also for good. The things you're going through, the things you're praying that would change. You're not Paul. I know, that's true. But you are you. And if you're a child of the King, if you've been forgiven, if you've been rescued through Jesus, your faith is in him, you are a child of the King of Kings. You're adopted, you're redeemed, you're forgiven, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are a most important person in the eyes of God. Some of you don't believe that yet. You are a most important person in the eyes of God. And God has spiritually meaningful work for you to do. He has uniquely designed you for those specific things. He has wired you and positioned you for certain things. And that's pretty cool if you ask me. He didn't give me the same things he gave you. He didn't give Paul the same things he gave Tychicus. I want to do the things he has for me to do. And if I can help you do the things he has for you to do, that's a win. Who cares if I make another $50 on a pair of skis? Who cares? It doesn't matter in the long run. But if I can have a part in helping someone find peace with God, if I can play a role in helping someone get excited about God's kingdom, that's what I want to be about. So bring it back to this opening question. What is your heart chasing? What is it chasing? Know your heart. Examine your heart. And let God change it. I want to pray for you. Lord, would you set our hearts on fire with the same things that you're most passionate about? Would you take us from where we are? God, there are ways that we're distracted, ways we struggle, ways we wish things were different, and our hearts are not necessarily where they need to be. That's true of me. It's true of probably most of the people here. So God, would you take our hearts and shift them? If there's something that we're chasing that's really not worth chasing, that we could identify that, we could turn away from it, God, would you turn the rudder of our hearts toward you? And fill us with the deepest delight in serving you and being part of your family. God, your kingdom is forever, and I can't comprehend forever, but it's a lot longer than what I can think of. And I want to live for forever. I want my life to matter. So God, just do that work in us so we can see more clearly, just a little bit better how you see. And see the futility of some of the things that we put so much into. And the value in things that we could put ourselves into. God, we invite you to do that work in us. And each one of us individually in this church, do that work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the worship team's going to come up, and I just want to give you a minute to think about what's your next step. We've talked about this, and I don't want you to walk away feeling guilty, but to think about, okay, God, where's my heart really? So maybe your next step is to spend some honest time with God, reflecting on what your heart is chasing. Or maybe you really like this pi squared idea, and you're like, you know what, I want to do that. Take a step and do it. Maybe there's something that nobody else knows that God is saying, this is your next step. Just take a minute between you and God, and then we're going to sing about that too.
Your feet, sing with us.
Treasure you hold.
about that missing verse. That's my fault. I didn't look at the slides. Shannon, my bad. All right, you guys can have a seat. And Shannon's going to come up. But before she says anything, I have one more thing, a sermon application opportunity for you. Good. So I've asked you to be praying for people you know who don't know Jesus. And I am offering right now, I will pray too. If you have people that you are willing to tell me what their first name is, I promise you, I will pray for them once a week. So if there's people like, I really, really want to see these people come to Jesus, tell me about that. I have a handout. There's one for everybody. If you're willing to fill this out and drop it in the offering box, you can fold it up, crinkle it up, and shove it in there. Like, I will transfer this to a piece of paper that I will carry with me every morning when I do my prayer walk, and I will pray for you. And there's specific things you're like, I got these prayer burdens. You pray for me about this and pray for people. Like, I will promise you I'll pray for you. So some of you I've been praying for related to this for years already. So I got it out again. Some of you are new. Some of you are like, the things I asked you to pray for, I don't even remember what they are. But would you pray for these things for me and I'll update my list. So I'm going to hand these out as Shannon shares the rest of whatever else we're going to talk about. And if you put these in the offering box, I will pray for you. Yeah, put your name on it, too. That would really help me. I pray for generic person B.
God still hears. Hopefully he knows. All right, so a couple things. I don't have a bulletin because we ran out today, so if you didn't get one, sorry about that. Nate was hoarding one up here, not even looking at it.
Oh, sorry.
So in here, this is a connection card. If you are not on our email list or you want to get plugged in, this is a first stop to do so. You can write down your email address, and if you want to get connected to certain things, that goes to Nate, and he can take it from there and get you on the email list, and you won't get spammed with emails. It's just what we have happening. Also, home groups, they are where we meet outside of church on, not just on Sundays, but during the week. We are currently on break, so our last meeting was last week. We're off this week because it's Thanksgiving, and then we're off the whole month of December, picking back up in January. We have two groups on a Monday and a Tuesday, so you can look forward to January if you'd like to get connected into a group. Also today, Joyce reminded me the script orders for the gift cards are due. So if you were intending to order some gift cards, that's a fundraiser to benefit Oasis, talk to Joyce, hand raised, and she will make sure that that gets turned in. Also, if you don't know, we are responsible here. We rent this church from Bethel for cleaning the downstairs. Oasis uses downstairs during the week, and AJ and Deanna have been doing that. So we're looking for somebody to step in and help out AJ as Deanna's taking a break. So if anybody is able to help clean once a week, AJ cleans here. If anybody would like to assist AJ in that, it will be very helpful, mopping the floors, vacuuming, straightening up, things like that. So I talk to AJ, you can talk to Nate if you might be interested in that. And then lastly, I forgot to put that on. Next week, we have a new sermon series starting in Genesis, going back to the beginning. So looking forward to that. And we also, in 2 weeks, have the Saucony Christmas party. We have had a fabulous response to this. Yay. So if you were looking at the sign-up genius and saw that, like, 20 participants and it was capped, we will gladly open that. We've had such a great turnout, so that's awesome. So anybody is welcome to come. We will have a great Cornerstone person to Saucony Cross resident ratio, so we can really lather them in love. And we will do setup at 3, meal at 5, cleanup at 7. You do not have to be there for everything. If you can't come for all of it, that's okay. If you only can bring food and drop it off, that's okay too. I think we're all covered for food, so awesome. Thank you for volunteering. But if you do intend to come, just make sure you sign up so we make sure there's enough food for all of us and, most importantly, the residents of Saucony Cross. All right, I think that's all I have. If you want.